share with you guys some things that I think are important, and then I'm going to leave some time for questions and answers, and no doubt you guys have learned some things that I could even benefit from. So preparing for this, I did what every good husband and pastor should do. I asked my wife, what would you say if you were up there? So that's my first key and tip, is doing this as a partnership. But my wife's been great, so I'll just tell you a little bit about our family and our calling. So I was raised in a single mom home, the home of a single mom. So I didn't learn a lot of the things that I'm talking about now, at least didn't learn them firsthand. I learned kind of the opposite of what not to do, which is almost just as effective. So that was my sort of calling. Mary, you can just hand those out or just bring those in. That'd be great. We got the handouts here. So as she's doing that, so I'll just tell you a little bit more. So I was raised with a single mom who was saved. She kept me in church for the most part, even when I didn't want to go, until my junior year in high school, where I really either got rededicated in my life or got saved. I'm not totally sure. I prayed a prayer when I was like 5 years old. But then my junior year in high school is when I really started to walk with the Lord and really know from that moment on my heart had been changed. So that's definitely that moment in time. My wife grew up here at this church, and she was raised in a Christian home. And we went to Bible college together out in Temecula, Marietta area. And we met out there, and then I moved out here. So we have been married for 26 years. We have three children, so my oldest daughter, Abby, is 23, and she works here in the bookstore. You'll probably see her if you roll into there. My son, Jaden, is 22. He has a full-time job, is finishing up his online degree, and is about to get married next Memorial Day weekend. And then our youngest daughter, Micaiah, is 18. She works in the coffee shop. She's a senior here in the high school. And she's getting ready to graduate. So that actually leads me into my first point, is that we are always rookies. So you kind of get like the little kid thing down a little bit. You survive, and then they become teenagers and young adults. And I feel like I just about had that one kind of figured out. And now we're planning weddings, and I'm like staring down the fact that I could be a grandfather at some point, which is just crazy. So we're always rookies. And most of the things I'm going to talk about here are things I just heard Joe say. Most of them I've heard him say on a Sunday morning over and over again, which is an encouragement, hopefully, to you guys, that one of the biggest things we need to just know how to function is just by belonging to a good Bible-teaching local church. Everything I've been given, wisdom-wise, as a parent and as a pastor, has just been either sitting in Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Bible college, or just hanging out with Joe and some of the guys. So totally a blessing as far as that goes. But we're always rookies. So he's said that. He's now a grandfather. He's now slowing down. He's trying to figure that out. So it's okay. And the idea is to be humble in the sense of, like, I've never been here before. I don't know how to have a new daughter-in-law or how to see my son, you know, sort of go out from under my covering and become his own man. So I'm always learning. I'm always wanting to grow. I'm always wanting to hear different people's perspectives. So I think that's just a good thing, to have humility, to recognize we're in seasons of life. And when you get into a new season of life, you want to glean and you want to be around people. So, but really the life of the church fulfills that, because I'm around older guys who are, I would look at as mentors and pastors. So it's great. All right, number two, ministry and family are both a dual calling. So God calls us to have a family, to enter into marriage, and to have that marriage hopefully provide children, or at least be open to that. So that's God's calling. It's one of the pillars of our church. It's the pillar of society. It's one of the reasons it's under attack, certainly, but to have a family, to enter into a Christian marriage and have kids, is a calling, and so is serving, right? And sometimes God calls us specifically into full-time ministry to serve and sometimes just as a volunteer. But both of them are callings, so you recognize they should be in balance. If God is calling me to both of them, I should be able to figure out a way to keep them so one isn't infringing upon the other. And if they do get messed up, which they certainly will from time to time, none of us are perfect, I should be able to figure out how to get it back in step, right? So God calls me to be a husband, he calls me to be a dad, and he's called me to serve. So all of those things should be able to be in balance, right? I should be able to do all three. If I'm doing what he's called me to do, I should be able to do all three of those. So I put down that verse from Matthew 11 where Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if I feel like this is really difficult or this is really heavy, there occasionally can be seasons where things are super intense. But in general, if I'm feeling like that constantly, chances are I'm not balancing things correctly. So certainly something we've all done. And so I just want to give you guys maybe some practical tips here on how to know and how to avoid some of the common mistakes. But your family is also part of your calling in ministry. I guess that would be one of the other things that I think is important. So I look at my kids and I realize God understood the calling he was going to put on my life and on my wife's life. So that's why he brought us together as a couple. And that's why he gave us the kids that he did. So I went to Bible college with a kid who was the son of a pretty well-known pastor. And he was telling a story one time about how he kind of struggled with this. And he thought, you know, he got invited to speak at a youth conference. And he said, is the reason they're asking me to speak at this youth conference just because my last name happens to be a famous pastor's last name? And somebody told him, no, the reason your last name and the reason why you are the son of this Bible teacher is because God knew he was going to call you to be a Bible teacher as well. So when I look at my kids, I look and I think God's calling was for me to serve him in certain areas, and he gave me the kids that he gave me in order, like it was just part of the deal, right? And it was part of the plan, and those two things shouldn't compete. They should actually, you should look at it and be like, man, this is cool, and it should make you wonder, how can I really take their lives as my children and my wife and really make sure that we are right where God wants us to be and doing the things God wants us to do. So it's a dual calling. God calls our family. He calls us to be a family and he calls us to serve. So that's that. Now, so one of the first things that can derail this or can get this yoke to not be easy is if we take ourselves too seriously. And this is a direct quote from Pastor Joe. Do not take yourself too seriously. And thankfully, when I was young in the ministry, we did like a ministry training class, and he would tell the story about how early on in the life of this church, he would have the church phone in his house as a separate line. So if somebody needed to reach the church, it would ring into his house and he could grab it. And he would just do all of the counseling, and he was doing a lot of the wedding, most of the weddings, most of the funerals, most of the hospital visits, all those sorts of things. And so he just said, you know, 20, 30 years later, he looked back and he said, the reason the church grew is not because of that. God just had a plan. That plan rolled out. And he said, I took myself too seriously. So that was super helpful for him to tell us that as younger pastors, that we don't have to do everything, that we don't have to be available every night of the week, that we don't have to be at every single event. And the reality is God will raise other people up. If I hear about a hospital visit and I just jump on it every single time, nobody else is going to get a chance. If I say, you know what, I'm going to be at home tonight, somebody else needs to take that, then the Lord might open up that door, and somebody that might not have ordinarily taken that might jump on it and be blessed. So I think that's important. Don't take yourself too seriously. And I say that in confidence, knowing that if you're here on a rainy Tuesday morning trying to learn about ministry, we are more of the responsible, faithful, high-functioning crowd. We're not the crowd that needs to be told to be more diligent and to be more responsible. We're the type that needs to say, no, you need to take a break every once in a while. And it's okay to not do everything. And it's okay to let somebody else take it once in a while. So I trust that I'm in like-minded company as far as that goes. So number four, our family culture. So every family is a little bit different, and you get to, as a mom or a dad, you get to kind of develop your family culture. This is who we are as a family. One of the things that's important in that culture is that we are a family who serves. My kids never knew anything different. My wife served, I served, and from the time they were little, they were just around. And that was actually a good thing. So it's a great thing if you're serving at the church to have your kids with you in those Sunday school classes at VBS, but then also hanging around at church. So one of the things I always wanted is my kids hanging around some of the older pastors. And when they were little, thankfully, Pastor Joe is just like super available. So we would hang out on a Wednesday night, like in the conference room. And I had to tell them when they were little, I want you here hanging out with us. This is fun. We're going to eat. We're going to watch football. And we're going to hang out with Pastor Joe. But you just need to listen, right? You don't need to talk. You just need to listen. And so they did that. They learned that. They learned to be in the room with older guys and older ladies and just to be around. And then I had to tell them as they got a little bit older, now you need to interact with people. Now, instead of being quiet, which you did well, now when Pastor Joe asks you a question, it has to be more than a one-word answer. You have to think about what he's asking you and engage with him and talk to him. And you need to ask him questions. So there's seasons of life, right? But I wanted them around older people, and I wanted them to understand how you interact with older people and how to make that just something that was good. And then I also wanted them around younger kids, and I wanted them to serve. And for a couple of reasons. Number one is you don't know how well you know something until you have to teach it to a fifth grader or a third grader. If you can take down, you know, the book of Romans and you can teach it to a third grader, then you have it down. So one of the benefits obviously was to make service part of just what they understood. That God has given to us, and we then respond by serving other people. I also wanted them to understand that, like, getting in front of people and teaching, especially kids, is not easy. So when they actually get to appreciate that what we do sometimes is not super easy. But it was a blessing. And then, obviously, the most important thing is they get to understand the blessing of giving back. So I wanted that to just sort of be a natural thing in their lives that they just sort of understood. So it wasn't like dad goes out and serves and mom stays home and is with the kids all the time and dad does this. And no, it was, this is what we do. We're part of a church and this is our life and this is our culture. And you're going to be around godly older people and then you're going to serve younger people. And it just, I think, helps to get them well-rounded, and you just get to spend tons of time together, right? So if your kids are with you, it's great. And so maybe one of the other things is I always wanted them to understand that they were the most important thing. So even at church, they could always interrupt me. They could always walk into my office. If there was somebody in there I was counseling and that person was crying, well, they would feel bad, right? But the world's not going to end. And I wanted them to always feel like they could just walk into my office. I was their dad, and that was never off limits to them. And there was never an event that was too important that they couldn't be around. So that's always important. The fifth thing, after busy seasons or big events, it's important to take a break. So those things can be stressful. They can just be time-consuming. And it is good to just take a break, take a breather, so that kids and your family understand there are times where you really buckle down and you work hard and maybe you go out three or four nights in a row and this is like a big thing. And then there's other times where we get to just have fun and hang out and that season is over and we get to take a break. So it's important for your kids to understand the seriousness of serving faithfully, that these are things that we're called to do and we're faithful. And it's also important for them to understand that being a part of ministry also means that we're more flexible. So most of my kids played sports, and I never missed a home game because I told them I work, and sometimes I work two or three nights a week, but it also means I can leave my office and I can go to your game for a couple hours. And if I was working in Center City for some Wall Street firm, I probably wouldn't be able to do that. So sometimes it's hard because I have to go out at night, or I have to go on a hospital visit on the weekend or do something. But there's also times where I can just take off and we can go do something fun. So I was trying to help them understand that it's just different. And it's there's blessings, and there's times where things are difficult. Number six is something, again, I heard Pastor Joe say a lot. You only get to do this once. So you're only going to have young kids once. You're only going to have, I never called them teenagers. I called them young adults, because I thought teenagers gives them this stigma of like irresponsibility, and they are young adults. So you only get to have, though, like a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. You get to have that one time. And so we want to do it right. You know you're not going to do it perfectly, but you want to avoid as many traps as you can as possible. So there are seasons of life. If you want to turn to Galatians, I just love this one. I'm going to look at a couple things here. Galatians chapter 6. And I'll read this passage. This one's great. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So one of the ways that we kind of keep perspective and balancing is you realize there are definitely times where I'm just sowing and I'm not reaping yet, but I am taking this time and I'm putting things into my family's life and into their hearts that I'm confident I'm going to reap later on. And so there are seasons of life, and there are times where we look at that kind of like investing, right? So if you invest a little bit every week or every month, and you allow that to accumulate, and you allow that, you start getting into compounding interest, if you guys have ever heard that term, where after a while, you kind of get to a point where things begin to grow, and then they begin to just get really fruitful. So the same thing is true in our families, right? And the younger you can get it in there, hopefully the more fruit it can bear, right? So you don't wait till your kids to grow up and be adults before you get them in starting to serve. You're like, no, I want them to understand this early on so they can begin to serve. Because if they can serve for, you know, if the Lord tarries 50, 60, 70 years, it's only going to be better and bear more fruit. So there's seasons of life. There's also seasons of life where you realize things are incredibly busy right now, but they're not always going to be like this. And I remember thinking specifically when my kids were like 16, 15, and probably 10, I felt like I was going to maybe lose my mind. I felt like an Uber driver. All I was doing was working, driving to this practice, picking this kid up, dropping this kid off. But thankfully, I thought in 2 years, my older two are going to be driving, and I'll probably be wishing for these times in the car with the kids and hanging out. And like, so it's good to like slow down and think through things enough where you're like, this season right now might be very busy, but in 4 years from now, I might wish I was back in this season of life, right? That helps you kind of get through those things, and it helps you realize how to sort of maximize those moments and how to not lose sight of them. The other one is in Matthew 25, if you want to turn there. I like this one as well. This is the parable, of course, of the talents. So Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So you guys know the rest of the parable. The second guy comes, he says the same thing. And then the third guy comes and he said, I was afraid, I didn't know what to do, so I just didn't do anything. And the Lord has nothing good to say to that person very specifically. But it's important that we understand that we have this time. We want to invest it wisely. We want to be good and faithful stewards. So from a family perspective, we remember that our kids are not our own, that they are on loan, and we're going to give an account as parents or grandparents how we shepherded them and how we balanced life and ministry. So if I burn out serving around church and my kids are neglected, it's not like the Lord's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I wanted you to do. No, in fact, the opposite, right? He's going to say, I didn't call you to that. I called you to do both. So we have to be careful, especially as people who probably being faithful comes more easily than maybe otherwise. So we have to just understand that those are the seasons of life and that they're important and that we want to. I think you could look at it this way, too. The guy has 5 talents. He goes and trades with them, gets 5 more, brings them back. So I think it's important with your family specifically to look at your kids and your wife. I guess that would be from a dad's perspective, but from a mom's perspective, to look at your kids. And they're all different. And they all have different sort of things that drive them and things that sort of appeal to them, things that they're specifically good at or interested in. And I think it's wise as a steward to try to feed that and to try to challenge them in those areas, right? So as they develop and as they get older, you start to notice those things and you want to really take those things and feed those into them. And you don't want to take a kid who's not inclined to something and force them to do those things. Now, there's certain things kids just have to do to be well-rounded. But in general, you'd much rather find something they're really good at and something they're really interested in and feed that and show them how that can be used for the Lord, how that can be used for his kingdom, how God can use that and maybe how why God gave them that desire in the first place, and just help them think through those things. So again, those are just sort of those seasons of life. You have those kids and you want to invest that into them early so that that will then bear fruit later on. So the earlier you can do that, the better. And then I just put down 7, the ultimate goal of parenting is you want to, if you're here and you're serving the Lord, it's because you realize the value of that, the blessing of that, the response that God's been good to us in his grace, so we want to respond by serving him and serving other people. So the ultimate goal of parenting, or one of the ultimate goals, is to have your kids have that same value set and have them want to serve because God's been good to them. The way that I put this down, there's 3 kind of stages of their lives. When they're little, they just have to obey you, right? So a 2-year-old, you don't try to negotiate with them or go into deep theological things. If they do something bad, you smack their hand or you know, because you care for them, you protect them, and they just have to obey you, right? Because they're little. And you're their dad and you want to make sure that they survive till 10 or 15 or 20. But the second season of life is they need to obey you. So as they get older into junior high and high school, they have to understand that there are consequences and that they have the ability to have self-control. So you say things like, if you want to go out with your friends on the weekend or you want to play video games, you have to have your homework done. If you want to drive or you want to have this phone, you have to be able to meet these certain requirements of your grades so you can show me that you are not getting things out of whack, right? So they learn that lesson of like, all right, if I want this thing, then I need to be able to do this thing over here first. and I can control myself and I can meet that goal in order to have this thing that I want. But you don't want to leave it there, right? Because then you're just in this like transactional relationship. The ultimate thing that you want to get them to is where they want to do those things. I want to be able to control myself so I can enjoy the things in life. I want to keep things in balance so that I can eventually have my own family. Or, you know, I want to not spend a lot of time on my phone or a lot of time on this because I want to be able to spend time with other people or to be able to spend time with the Lord. So you don't want, early on, they just have to listen to you. Later on, they need to listen to you so that they can develop those good habits. But ultimately, you want them to do those things. The things that you're putting into their lives, you want them to have those things. And that, of course, is the most powerful motivation, when someone wants to do something versus they need to do something or even have to do something. So the other one, number 8, is be intentional. Communicate clearly and keep your word and be quick to apologize. So 4 things there. So be intentional. Plan on, maybe it's like a family night, or maybe it's time where you know we're going to carve out this time and we're going to do something. I'm assuming you guys all have certain responsibilities at church and in ministry that are regular, and you get in the groove and you kind of know those things. What sometimes isn't in the groove is family stuff, and you don't want to try to just shoehorn that in the last minute or when we get a break or when we're not doing something. You want to be more intentional and do things on a regular basis, or specifically plan out times where we're going to do something. And as they get older, that becomes even harder and even more important, right? Because if you let them go, you'll see them like once a week or something. They'll just be gone. So you're like, no, I want to hang out. Let's do something. Let's plan a night. I know this is going to be hard to get everybody on the same page, but let's try that. So when my kids were smaller, we used to have date nights. So Monday nights, my wife would take out each one of our kids for 3 weeks in a row and just go to Chick-fil-A or go do something fun. And then I would take the next 3 weeks and I would take each one of them out. And then we just kind of cycled through that for a couple of years. And it was fun to get to hang out with each one of them individually, spend time together just with that specific child, and just to let them know that that was a good thing. It's a good thing for my son to go out with my wife when he was little. It's a good thing for me to take my daughters out. Those were just all good, healthy things. But you have to communicate that clearly. And keeping your word. So if I told the kids, hey, Saturday we're going to go do something, and then every time I did that, you know, if Pastor Joe called and said, hey, I need you to go do something, and I just bailed on them every time, they're going to start to get a little bit hard-hearted. They're going to start to get a little skeptical. They're going to start to get a little, for a good reason, right? If my wife did that to me every time, I'd be annoyed too. So there certainly are those times where if I say we're going to do this, unless like the barn's on fire or something, we're going to do this, right? And if, you know, there have been a couple times where something seriously happened and I had to go to the hospital to visit someone, then when you come back, you just sit them down and explain this to them. Like, hey, this was a big deal. And this was, you know, you make them even feel like they're part of the process, right? Like, if the family, our ministry as a family, sometimes allows dad to go do things like that. But in general, my yes should be yes, and my no should be no. And if I say we're hanging out together, then we're hanging out together. And so that's important. So the last part, though, is that doesn't always happen, right? Things come up. I'm human. I mess up. So it should just be quick to apologize, quick to ask for their forgiveness, quick to say I messed that up. Because I want them to recognize that in a parent, because I want them to show that same tendencies when they have their own kids. And Pastor Joe used to say this all the time: when you're training your kids, you're training your grandkids, because hopefully your kids are going to pick this up and they're going to emulate that to their kids as well. So I want them to know that as a dad, dads can be wrong, dads can apologize, dads can ask their kids for forgiveness, dad can ask his wife for forgiveness. That's totally appropriate. And but in general, I want to be a man of my word. So in general, If dad says we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And then lastly, if you find yourself just too busy pulling your hair out and it's not maybe just a specific, you know, I mean, if it's like VBS week or something, I get it. Like everybody's crazy. But in general, if you find yourself just like too crazy, oftentimes in my own life, I found that that was a self-inflicted wound. It was either procrastination on my part, or I was busy with things that just really weren't all that important. I was forgetting that, you know what, in 10 years, my kids aren't going to be here and I can go play golf. But if I go out for 6 hours right now on my day off and leave my kids and my wife, that's probably not going to end well. Or if we're going to sign my son up for this travel league, he's really not all that great, but we're going to be away every weekend just so he can play this. It's a self-inflicted wound. That's something that we are sort of bringing on ourselves. And so you want to be wise and you want to not allow the world to creep in and to get you too busy. We're just in a season of life right now where we're in a country with a strong economy and plenty of things to do and being pulled in lots of different directions. And it's only going to get busier. And now phones, I was thinking about this today. I'm really glad I missed, when I had little kids, we didn't have like phones the way that we have them now. And I'm so glad because my kids didn't have to worry about like, am I paying attention to them or is mom paying attention to them or are they on their phones? Because now I'm very conscious. Like if my kids come in and I'm just on my phone, I'm like, man, that just sends the wrong message. But had I been, when I was young and stressed out and had little kids, I'm sure that would have been even a bigger temptation. That's the our generation, this generation now, if you have kids, that's the test that we are going to face, absolutely. Because you know when your kids are older, you don't want them to do that to their kids, right? So, and being around, especially with little kids, like seeing adults' faces and feeling their touch, like that is just so important. So it is definitely the one of the things that we are going to face. So let me just stop there. Those were some things that I kind of popped into my mind and my wife shared with me. But questions or maybe you're in a different season of life or maybe you've had different experiences. So I'd love to just be able to hit anything that you might have been wondering about or any questions specifically, if there are any. So, yes. Okay, great. So the question was, how do you find those things that the kids are good at and then invest in those things? So I would say probably just spending time with them, most importantly. But my wife was probably better at this or as good. You know, so you really need that companionship because my wife would see things I wouldn't see and I would see things maybe she wouldn't see. But in general, like I wanted to teach all three of my kids how to cook. I thought this is important, even my son. Like I just thought for whatever reason that's important. But only one of them was really, like, good at it. So the other two learned how to cook, which was important. But one of them was really good at it. So I began to feed that, and I began to watch videos with them, show that I was interested in it, too. And, you know, we would buy her things for Christmas that would, you know, lend itself to that. I would show her these cool cooking videos. We would go do things that I would just, I know would, like, sort of inspire that. But the other two were clueless. Like they're not interested in that. So one of my other kids was super interested in history. And the other two needed to learn history, but this one really liked history. She actually wanted to read and to like get into it. So we would go places that were historical. We would go take, you know, specifically like think about, what we would do. And my wife would read to them all the time, you know, so, and then, you know, one of the other ones was just really good at sports. And so I would, you kind of do that. But then I would say, hey, you need to go coach like a younger team. You need to go get around these younger kids and you need to be a part of this. And you need to use that gift and that calling, that thing that you like to influence like other people. So I would say, so showing, trying to figure out what they're good at and it'll, you know, at 10, I might not have figured it out for all of them. And at 7, I would say as they get older, but the younger that you can get it in there and start feeding it, for sure, is helpful. And then showing them how they can take that gift or that thing that they're interested in and then using it in service, in serving the those would be, so there's certain things they just all have to learn, but then you can usually tell like what they're really interested in. So good question. Any other questions or other thoughts? So if you want to read a great book, probably the best book I've read on it, is called 12 Ways Your Cell Phone Changes You. It's by one of the Gospel Coalition guys. They have it in the bookstore, I think. Although I told the men's ministry about it the other night, and they might have bought it out. But the guy does a great job and basically showing that your phone is not the problem. Your phone can be an incredible tool. Social media is really the problem. And that just wears on our flesh, and it's just really hard to navigate through. So when my kids were older, I waited till they were 16 to get them a smartphone. And because I had some leverage, because they all really wanted a phone, I said, you need to read this book. You need to underline multiple different things. We need to have a long conversation about it, and then I will get you a phone that you can use as a tool, but not on social media. And then when you get old enough where you could move out, then it's your call. But that was just my personal way that my wife and I handled it. And man, it's only gotten harder. It's just going to be, it will be the challenge of our generation to navigate that well and to not lose our minds. That's all I can say. But that book is great. I forget the name of it. Dennis Reinke or R-E-I-N-K-E, I think. He just does a great job of like, you don't have to throw your phone away. You just have to like navigate it. So 12 ways your cell phone is changing you. Yes. Great question. So how to navigate that season. Yes. That season of life, very specifically with very young kids. And I wish she was here because she would have much wiser things to say. All I can tell you is I watched her. And I would say she very much, if you're going to make a mistake, make the mistake on the side of spending too much time with your kids. So we're never going to do it perfectly. You know, too much time at church, too much time at home. If you're going to make a mistake, you can serve the Lord for the rest of your life. They're only going to be one and three for a very short amount of time. And literally from the time my wife was pregnant with our oldest, people would tell us it goes by so quickly. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I've taught that. And I've told other people that. And somehow when they get to 23, you're like, how did that sneak up on me? That's literally impossible. That from the time they were in my wife's womb, we were talking about this, and it still somehow gets you. So I would say err on the side of spending more time at home. That's, you know, there's seasons of life. So there's older people in the church. There's people whose kids are older can step in. And when you are older, when the kids are older, you'll be that. And you can tell the young mom, hey, we got this. And yeah, your own health, your own sanity, you're learning things, you're just navigating things you've never had to navigate. And that specifically is, I would say, it's got to be one of the harder seasons of life. So all the seasons are difficult, but that one specifically is incredibly difficult. So, so I was very thankful. My wife really didn't do a ton of that when my kids were little. It was after they started growing and they were older that she got more involved. So she was very much... at home a ton. So, and she had mentioned something that, you know, for like a husband and a dad to communicate to the family that like part of this season of life is, you know, when David went out to war and the people that stayed back with the stuff, like that was part of God's design. And so when the kids are little, that's part of the design that, you know, I was freed up to go and do things. And my wife was home, but it wasn't like I was out serving and they were home. No, it was we're all serving. She's raising a healthy family so that I can go and do the things that I need to do and not worry about having those things out of whack. So we're all going to make mistakes. Definitely err on the side of spending time with your kids for sure. So, yes. Do you have kids at home or? Okay. So the question was how to balance marriage with traveling. I always wanted my wife with me. It says it's not good for a man to be alone. So unless there was like a good reason, I would always want my wife with me. And yeah, I just think we're better together. I would just say it's always preferable if she's not at home, you know, unless there's a reason, but. Great question. And definitely a this is a challenging season of life. In a sense, it's great that our kids are saved and they're at home, and you know. So, if you're going to have a problem, this is a good problem to have, I guess. I will recommend, my wife, if she were here, she would say this. There's a book called Fledge, F-L-E-D-G-E, on how to deal with young adults leaving the house. Because it is, I think for wives and moms specifically, it is way more difficult. Because this is like what you've known a good chunk, and now all of a sudden that is like transitioning to a new season. For me, I go to work, I come home, I go, like, not a ton has changed for her, a lot has changed. So when our kids graduated high school, they both of the older two stayed at home for a while. My son moved out now. But we basically made it known, like, if you're going to live here, we'll pay the rent. We'll do everything for you in a sense, but we go to church. Like, church is part of what we do. So Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and I would, you know, it was just kind of understood, like, I want you to be involved. So if you're going to just be helping out with the youth group, that's fine on a Wednesday night, but I want you involved. They never really pushed me too hard on it, but that would have been my thing is, I would have gone down the list of all the things I'm doing for them. And all I want you to do is be in fellowship, and you got five other nights to hang out with your friends and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, so I would use that leverage that you have a little bit with, like, you know, the things that you're still doing for them. But I would say you have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Like, they're older. They're old enough now. And you're like, it's like that thing, like, have to, need to, want to. Like, you want them to want to go to church. They're kind of past that need to stage almost. You can still hang on to a couple things. So I think you have to just realize, like, I just need the Lord to do something in their heart to make them want to do that. And you just remember what we were like at that age. I wanted to go to church. I was saved, but I didn't always go to church. I knew, you know. So there's some grace there, I think, to just be normal and just love them. And yeah, so. All right. Well, let me pray for you guys. It's about 10:50. And then I'll give you some time to go do anything you need to do before the next one. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. You have called us to serve you, and you've called us to have families. And, Lord, we want to do this well. Lord, and we know that you can just go before us, Lord. You're the shepherd. We're the sheep. And you lead us and guide us, Lord, as we lead and guide our families and our kids. So we just pray, Lord, that when this is all wrapped up, Lord, we would hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, you know the things that we don't understand, the things we don't know yet, the seasons of life we haven't been through. So we just humble ourselves, Lord. We ask that you'd fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us, that you would give us the wisdom that we need. I pray that you'd put people in our lives that can give us wisdom. Lord, pray for your blessing upon the churches that we're involved with, that healthy church life would just produce fruit in our families, and the fruit in our families would strengthen our churches. So, Lord, we just thank you. We love how you've designed this, and we just commit it to you, Lord, and we pray in your name. Amen.